Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, July the 6th, and yes, we are already in July. And the first article has the headline, Police Investigate Double Homicide. Dateline, Danville. Danville police are investigating a shooting that left two people dead, according to Public Safety Director Larry Thomason. Latrey A. Reed, 21, and Tania J. Williams, 20, of Danville suffered apparent gunshot wounds, according to Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden. Police were called to a residence in the 1300 block of Lape Street about 4:15 a.m. Thursday. The caller reported that a male was lying on the floor and not breathing, Thomason said in a release. Entering the home, police found a male and a female lying on the floor in the residence, and both appeared to be victims of gunshot wounds, Thomason said. There were two other people in the home who were not injured. He added that both Reed and Williams were shown to be residents of the house they were found in. Police are investigating the incident as a homicide, and no one is in custody at this time. Police are continuing to interview neighbors and others who have information related to the incident. Autopsies were scheduled for Thursday evening, McFadden said. Reed and Williams are the fourth and fifth Danville people to die in shooting-related deaths in the last 3 weeks. Danatha M. Gulliford died June 12th in a police-involved shooting, which is being investigated by the Illinois State Police. Days later, on June 16th, Albert L. Gardner, Jr., 23, and Taji S. McGill, 17, succumbed to gunshot injuries they received at the Untouchables Motorcycle Club. Danville police are still searching for Deontay N. Bright, 18, of Danville, in connection with their deaths. Anyone with information related to the incident are asked to contact Danville police at 431-2250 or call Crime Stoppers at 446-TIPS, T-I-P-S. And the next article has the headline, City Marks 25th Annual Community Celebration. Dateline Danville. It was 25 years ago when the first community day was celebrated in Danville's Douglas Park. It's true, I can't believe it, said Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee Chairwoman Mary Thompson. Thompson said when community day started, about 50 people attended the event. A lot more people have attended the event ever since. It was only at Douglas Park for 1 year before moving to Lincoln Park. Other changes over the years include that it used to be on a Saturday and it used to have speakers. The speakers eventually changed over to entertainment, including singing groups from churches and different activities for the children. We were thinking of ways to bring people together. It just started from there, and we started getting donations for food, she said about how Community Day started. It just bloomed. This year's Community Day, sponsored by the City of Danville Human Relations Commission and the Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Committee, will take place from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. Sunday at Lincoln Park. The event is open to the public and there is no admission fee. The program will feature Ashton Greer, Connection Church, God's Girls from the First Presbyterian Church, Lady P.J. Bourne, Battle Focus Ministries Church, Mary T. Sweet Potato Pie Corner, and Noah I. Brown from Champagne. Free food such as barbecue, beverages, and ice cream will be served. Fun activities for children 4 to 12 will include an inflatable. The committee encourages everyone to come out and enjoy the activities. In case of rain, the food will be served and the program will be at the Lincoln Park Pavilion. Thompson made 52 sweet potato pies last year. She said she's not making quite as many this year to give away. Thompson enjoys the annual event where citizens can gather. She enjoys neighbors from all over the city coming together. We usually have a crowd of people there, and they seem to enjoy it year after year, she said. She said the entertainment for the children also goes over well. She said they've tried to include younger people in Community Day over the years. I am grateful that the people are still supporting us, Thompson added. Danville Human Relations Administrator Sandra Fitch said it's a fun time and people really enjoy the event. And the next article has the headline, Heavy rain catches city off guard. Dateline Danville. Jean and Georgiana Underwood of Danville were running a few errands around noon Thursday when they were caught off guard by flash flooding just north of downtown Danville. Ironically, one of those errands included a car wash for their convertible Chrysler Sebring before heading to County Market to shop for groceries. Their car ended up becoming submerged in rapidly rising floodwaters at Williams and Walnut Streets. It just hit us, Jean said of the unexpected flash flooding due to a burst of heavy rainfall. We saw that a car had stalled on Williams, but by the time we saw it, it was too late. The worst part was the ones who went by in SUVs and 4x4s, Jean said, which created a wake in the floodwater that pushed their floating car down Walnut Street. The couple patiently sat in their car for help to arrive as water rose inside the car. Water filled the seats and we just sat there. Then the car started floating. Georgiana said she was becoming anxious because she's claustrophobic. The couple called 911 but somehow was disconnected from the dispatcher who was going to stay on the line with them until help arrived. I think they were inundated in a matter of minutes, Jean said of emergency personnel. It was a mess. In addition to the Underwoods car, two other cars were submerged at the intersection. Danville Public Works arrived with workers and a truck with a heavy-duty vacuum on it to remove debris away from the clogged storm sewer drains. When the water receded, tow trucks came to remove two of the three cars. Jean was uncertain whether the car could be repaired. It depends on how bad the water fried the electrical system, he said. During that same time, several other reports came in over the emergency response scanner of cars submerged in water and buildings struck by lightning. Many of the reports came in north of downtown Danville, including the intersections of Voorhees and Oak Streets, as well as Gilbert and Fairchild Streets. The National Weather Service issued a flash flood warning for central Vermilion County around noon that lasted until 3:30 p.m. The American flag, recently placed in front of the David S. Palmer Arena for the 4th of July, appeared as if it had been hit by lightning. It was torn in shreds and looked charred. The flag was later taken down. Danville received about 2.2 inches of rainfall during the flash flood, according to Vermilion Weather's website. The Vermilion County Emergency Management Agency could not be reached for comment on any possible injuries or ongoing road flooding or closures. And the next article has the headline, Parade Seeks Entries, Dateline Danville. Entries are being sought for the 2018 Labor Day Parade. The Vermilion County Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, will again sponsor the largest downstate parade in Illinois on Labor Day, September 3rd. The parade committee takes much time and pride in bringing this event to downtown Danville. Organizations or businesses interested in participating can contact Connie Ostrander at 418-0944 or Emil at savingspacegrace55@yahoo.com for an application which must be submitted by August 10th. The committee welcomes participation and encourages groups to honor the theme in a creative manner. Awards will be presented at the Vermilion County Federation of Labor AFL-CIO meeting in October. Winners will be notified. Those who are not union members can ride walk with Vermilion County Federation of Labor AFL-CIO. And now for the obituaries. The first is for Paul Thomas Mick, in quotations, Haggerty, 77, of Cayuga and formerly of the Ridge Farm in Georgetown area, who died on Wednesday, July 4th in Danville. A celebration of his life will be at Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Saturday, July 7th, visitation will be 1 hour prior to services on Saturday. The family requests contributions to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, 501 St. Jude Place, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105-9959. And the next is for Gary Welker of Georgetown, who died Thursday. Funeral arrangements were complete at Rourke Vet Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street, Tilton. And the next is for C.J. Newell of Danville, he's 76 years old, when he died of Danville, who died on Wednesday, July 4th, in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leake & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street, Danville. And the next is for James Rollins, 77, of Danville, who died on Wednesday, July 4th. A celebration of his life will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, July 9th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion in Danville, with Reverend Michael Heidel officiating. Visitation will be held from 1 to 4 p.m. Sunday, July 8th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Lutheran Cemetery, Danville. And the next is for Thomas Dean, Tom in quotes, Weston, 74 of Williamsport, Indiana, who died at 1:25 Eastern Time on Tuesday, July 3rd. Visitation will be from 3 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, July 8th, at West Lebanon Christian Church, with Masonic services at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday, July 7th, at the church, with Minister Bruce Thornsborough officiating. Interment will follow at the West Lebanon Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the West Lebanon Christian Church. And the next article is from the Balloons special section in the news, the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, and it's about the Balloon Festival, and it has the title, Balloons Returning to Vermilion County Skies. It's time again for colorful hot balloons to fill the sky over Vermilion County, but the action doesn't stop when the sun and balloons come down. For the first time, a professional laser light show will bring the night sky to life at 9 p.m. opening day only, July 13th. The two-day festival kicks off at 3 p.m. July 13th when gates open to the public at the Vermilion Regional Airport, 22633 North Bowman Avenue, Danville. And the fun winds down after 11 p.m. July 14th when the last band, New Invaders, wraps up on the main stage. Admission is $5 per person, and kids ages 10 and under are free with each paid adult. Parking on airport grounds is $5, but free shuttle service runs from multiple nearby locations throughout the event. A map of shuttle locations is available on page 7 of this section, and I'm not going to go there because I couldn't tell you what was on it anyway, and online at balloonsoververmilion.com. The field of about 35 hot air balloons is scheduled to take off from the Vermilion County Airport grounds at 6:30 p.m. July 13th for the first of three scheduled flights throughout the two-day event. After the hot air balloon launch is the popular balloon glow at 8:30 p.m. both nights, where the entire launch site fills with hot air balloons tethered to the ground as pilots fire their burners, lighting their envelopes, that's the balloons, in unison. That's followed by a colorful and lively cascade of light beams that will dance midair across the airport grounds, choreographed to music. Laser Encore, the same company that puts on the laser show at the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta in New Mexico, uses the latest laser technology in its synchronized shows that are featured across the country at festivals, fairs, and other special events. And we are excited to offer the same high-quality entertainment for our festival, too, said Pat O'Shaughnessy, co-chair of Balloons Over Vermilion, which was launched as an annual event 3 years ago when the Julius W. Hegeler II Foundation agreed to be the title sponsor. The new laser light show is sponsored by Mike and Sue Brown. Co-chair Jim Anderson said organizers invite everyone to join them July 13th and 14th at the Vermilion Regional Airport in Danville for the area's marquee event. The main attraction of the festival, which drew 22,500 people last year, a 12% increase over the first year, is the hot air balloons. The field features pilots from several states, including Georgia, Missouri, Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, and 20 from Illinois, including several local pilots like Deb Greist of Urbana, Betsy Kleiss of Champaign, and Kathy Reinecke of Mahomet, as well as the Danville contingent, Dean Carlton, Donna Carlton Vish, Ryan Carlton, Larry Owen, and Brock Gale. The 35 pilots and their balloons are slated to fly if skies are clear with little wind three times during the festival. 6:30 p.m. July 13th, balloons lift off at the Vermilion Regional Airport grounds. 6:30 a.m. July 14th, a community flight where pilots find takeoff sites around the Danville area and fly to a point chosen that morning depending on wind direction. 6:30 p.m. July 14th, balloons lift off at the Vermilion Regional Airport grounds. If you want to experience what it's like to lift off in a hot air balloon, professional pilot Tony Sandlin from Indianapolis will have his balloons, which are also handicap accessible at the festival, offering tethered rides to the public. About 900 tethered rides were given at last summer's festival. Rides, $15 for adults and $10 for kids 10 and under, can accommodate 4 to 8 people at a time. And the balloon basket goes up 50 to 100 feet in the air. At all times, the balloon is secured to the ground by heavy vehicles and strong ropes. The trips last about 5 minutes and offer a bird's eye view of the festival grounds and an excellent opportunity to experience hot air ballooning. In addition to ballooning, the festival offers a wide variety of food vendors and other activities, including a kids' zone, classic car show from 1 to 5 p.m. July 14th, a sand volleyball tournament 1 to 8 p.m. July 14th, and throughout the 2 days, a beer tent with live music, and a main stage with more live music featuring several bands, Big Guns, Zach Dobbles, Experience, Tons of Fun, X-Crush, and New Invaders. And now another article about the Balloon Festival with the headline, New Special Shape Balloons to Take Flight at this year's event. When you go to this year's Balloons Over Vermilion, you to see hot air balloons, chances are a gigantic green dragon and purple cyclops will be staring back at you. Don't be frightened. They are only Augie the Friendly Dragon and One-Eyed Jack who will be making their debut at the 3rd Annual Balloon Festival at the Vermilion Regional Airport, courtesy of pilot Jack Semler of Westfield, Indiana. They, along with Georgia pilot Mike Shroom's heart-shaped balloon, Teamo, are the three special-shaped balloons that will be featured this year. People love seeing the round balloons, and how beautiful they are, said Simmer, who owns Indy Hot Air with his wife, Lynn. But when they see a special-shaped balloon, they're just amazed at how huge and unique they are. Simmer developed a passion for aviation as a youngster that led him to pursue a degree in aeronautics, aviation, aerospace science, and technology from Purdue University, and into a 30-plus year career as a FedEx Express pilot and instructor examiner. After meeting Lynn, he arranged their first date, a balloon flight over Napa Valley. I fell in love with both, Lynn and ballooning, he said. While Semler wasted no time marrying Lynn, he put his interest in flying balloons on hold while he advanced his career and the couple raised their 4 kids. When his kids got older, Semler bought his first balloon. He and Lynn launched their balloon business, which provides private rides for two, tether rides, corporate promotions, and balloon flight training 11 and a half years ago. It was on a trip to the annual Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta, the largest balloon festival in the world, which featured more than 1,000 balloons in 2000, but now limits that number to 600 a year, that the Semlers fell in love with special-shaped balloons. It's overstimulating to see everything from Cinderella's castle to dragons and scarecrows, he said. That's why we knew we'd really like to get into the business. They're more fun and family-oriented. His family now has 3. Augie is my favorite one to fly, Semler said, of the smiling dragon, which is 143 feet tall and has a volume of 175 cubic feet. That was our first special-shaped balloon, which we bought about 8 years ago. He's one of the largest special shapes in the world. One Eye Jack, which he's had for 3 years, stands 95 feet, or 100 if you count his mohawk, and has a volume of 120,000 cubic feet. He's a fun Halloween type of balloon, and after Monsters Incorporated, it just seemed like a pretty good fit. Adding, he resembles Mike Wazowski, the character voiced by Billy Crystal. His friend, Jordan Cox, an EMT firefighter from Westfield, will fly that balloon for the Danville event. Semler's other special shape balloon is Smiley Scarecrow, which he's had 7 years. It's one of our most popular balloons, he said, of the 120,000 foot tall yellow scarecrow balloon that has flown in the Philippines and the Festival Internacional del Globo in León, Mexico. He also has a round balloon called Chasing Dreams. The envelope includes colorful gemstones on a black background and looks like a kaleidoscope on the inside. Semler said flying special shapes are more challenging because they need more lift, a larger landing space, and larger crew, among other things, but they're also more fun. You fly these when you want to stop traffic, he said. People will stop in the middle of the interstate to take a picture or a selfie. Each year we do a test training flight with all of our balloons. We'll post on our Facebook page when we're going to do this, and we'll have 200 people who will come out and watch. Although he's flown his balloons all over the U.S. and internationally, Semler said he and his family are looking forward to bringing them to Danville. We know some of the local pilots, Dave and Kathy Reinecke, Larry Owen, Dean Carlton, he said. We fly with them at different events all summer. Now we'll have the opportunity to fly with them in their hometown. We go to a lot of small communities where you wouldn't normally go if you weren't flying. Semler continued, they open their doors and hearts to us. You see how wonderful they are and unique they are. You see how wonderful the people are and the pride they have in their town. They want to show off their town to us. And we always walk away with lasting memories. And now another article from the balloon section with the headline, Balloon Helps Celebrate the Town of Lincoln. So what's the link between watermelons and Abraham Lincoln? Seth Goodman, a hot air balloon pilot and mayor of Lincoln, Illinois, gets that question a lot when flying his new balloon, Honest Abe, which features a picture of our 16th U.S. president on a watermelon design. The answer, Lincoln christened the city of Lincoln, Illinois, with a watermelon. Goodman, a licensed hot air balloon pilot and a real estate professional in Lincoln, is also the mayor of the small central Illinois town. So it's very symbolic for our city, Goodman said of his unique balloon design, which was completed last fall, but the weather wasn't ideal for flying then. Goodman has flown Honest Abe only a handful of times this year, and the first was in Danville with a few local pilots. Danville is probably one of my favorite places to fly, said Goodman, who will be among the field of 35 pilots at the Balloons Over Vermilion Festival, June 13th to 14th, at Vermilion Regional Airport north of Danville. Goodman said he enjoys flying with the Danville area balloon pilots, enjoys the ballooning atmosphere at the festival, adding that the people in the Danville area really enjoy ballooning. He said he's really looking forward to this year's Balloons Over Vermilion event. It's just a lot of fun, he said. Goodman said he's not very competitive, but he won last year's Splash and Dash, a separate small event scheduled for July 12th, featuring several balloons that fly over Lake Vermilion in Danville trying to hit a floating target on the water. He said he got lucky and looks forward to that event, too. So if the weather cooperates, Honest Abe's first appearance in Danville could be the day before the festival kicks off. Goodman said people love the watermelon colors, but they're also confused until he explains the story of his town's christening by large fruit. He usually gets compliments. They are always kind of fascinated by it, he said. And one last story from the balloon section, which has the headline, Young Pilot Ready for Takeoff. Brock Gale has been a hot air balloon pilot for several years. Before becoming a pilot, he worked as a crew member for other balloon pilots. As a crew member, Gale has traveled to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Quebec, Canada. For the last 47 years, Albuquerque has been home to the Albuquerque International Balloon Festival, the largest hot air balloon festival in the world, boasting over 1,000 balloons of all shapes and sizes. Launching from a field the size of 11 football fields. According to Gale, the crew is instrumental in keeping the pilot safe. The crew will conduct safety checks of the balloon, monitor the weather conditions, and look for adequate landing sites. To become a pilot, Gale had to complete certain criteria, including a written exam, verbal exam, flight test, and training with a commercially issued licensed pilot. Gale now owns his own hot air balloon, which is 90,000 cubic feet, which would be the equivalent volume of 90,000 basketballs. Gale must keep his balloon well maintained for safety and compliance with FAA regulations. He likes to fly his hot air balloon as much as the weather and his schedule allows. Hot air balloons are only able to control whether they are going up and down, which means that pilots like Brock have to depend on the weather to determine how far and when Gale is able to fly his balloon. Ballooning is such a big part of Gale's life that he even proposed to his now wife in a balloon. Their wedding was attended by many of the local balloon pilots that are also flying in this event. Gale's late father-in-law was one of the men who helped start the original balloon classic in Vermilion County. Today, Balloons Over Vermilion helps carry on the legacy of ballooning in Vermilion County as it has grown as an event and attracted pilots from not just central Illinois and Indiana, but from Iowa, Ohio, Kentucky, Missouri, and even as far away as Georgia. There are many balloon pilots around the globe, but that doesn't mean there aren't. I don't know what they meant to say here. There aren't any, Gale said. I've met pilots from all over the world. And now an opinion column with the headline, Opponents Feed Trump Media Machine. The time has come for Donald Trump's critics to take a much-deserved vacation from all things Donald Trump. The media especially can use this time to work on dropping their compulsion to obsess on every lie, insult, and provocation he crafts for their consumption. The invitation extends to participants in social media, which, after all, are media too. It is slowly dawning on the anti-Trump camp that repeating every inanity that also feeds the propaganda machine. Attaching condemnation matters not. Just typing Trump's afferents word for word amplifies them. You know what they say about how lies replayed and replayed start being taken as truth. George Lakoff, a linguist who advises Democrats, vents frustration at how cleverly Trump manipulates the professional media. Trump has turned words into weapons, he recently said, and he's winning the linguistic wars. Journalists have been trained to repeat what officials, especially the president, say, Lakoff added. What it does is keep the lies out there. What should traditional media do? Make clear he's lying, tell what the lies is, and then go back to the truth. If there are part truths in what he's saying, then by all means include them. Happily, respected news sources are getting better at treating the raw sewage before sending it through the pipes to the public. When Trump lies, they are now less inclined to copy-paste his statements in the headline. Instead, they center on the truth he's dismantling. Trump is very good at framing his tweets. Through word choice, he decides what the story is. Rather than break the frame, too many of his critics strengthen it by using his words. A skeptical reader who reads Crooked Hillary a million times may start to believe the message. The media's Trump dilemma goes well beyond what they write about him. Even more concerning is how they write, how much they write. Swiss journalist Patrick Muller notes the undesired results of excessively covering provocative politicians. To illustrate, he uses the example of Christoph Blocher, a Swiss populist making waves in the 1990s. In retrospect, it's widely accepted that Mr. Blocher's exuberant media presence and his demonization helped him rise. Mueller writes in the Wall Street Journal. Mueller is also surprised by American journalism's lack of discretion in choosing things to obsess about. Did the media have to spend so much time, he asks, on tweets about Roseanne Barr, Kanye West, and the latest twist in the Stormy Daniels? This has been Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, June 6th. I look forward to reading with you again soon.